Good morning again.
Good morning.
We find ourselves in Proverbs this morning, Proverbs chapter 30, 1 through 6. We're giving thanks over several weeks here for different concepts given to us by the Bible. We're giving thanks for these things that Jesus has given to us. Today it is truth. We're giving thanks for truth. Proverbs 30, 1 through 6. Truth. What is it? What is true? Jesus?
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Jesus, the Sunday school answer. What is truth? We have many of these examples in our lives daily, right, of true things. I liked one of the definitions I saw on truth. This definition was, truth is reality. I think we would say it is what it is. What is truth? What's an example in our life? We go to math, right? 1 and 1 equals 2. That's true. We look around and see other things in our lives. We know many true statements about us, about others. So you know what you call true in your life. The reality. Whatever it is, it is. We give thanks for this truth this morning, but it's not giving thanks for what we want to be true. That's not it. We're not giving thanks for our opinion of the reality we live in, that's not it. We give thanks this morning for the truth, and for that we turn to the Word of God. So that's what we're going to do together today. The truth of us, the truth of God, and the Word of truth. Three parts in Proverbs chapter 30. Let's stand as we read God's Word together. Words of Agur, son of Jacob, the oracle. The man declares, I am weary, O God, I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man, I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this morning together, and now we thank you for your holy word. Help us lean into it in a very real way this morning to just learn what your truth is so that we can apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning we give thanks for truth. It's the next one in a list of things we're going to be giving thanks for between now and the end of the year. And we do so by leaning into a passage that maybe you haven't spent a lot of time in. Agur, he is unknown to us, and actually he's unknown to all. Nobody knows who this is. Agur, this is the only time we see this name in the Bible. There are some theories about who he is, but we don't know. Proverbs 30 is the only place we find his name. It's also not a go-to passage for this concept. We refer a lot to Paul, right? And John and the other gospel writers, and Timothy and Jesus when we think of truth. The letters to the church are full of this truth. Every word on every page, true. You keep hearing me say that over and over again. Jesus, the very truth. We give thanks because we have been revealed this truth through people in our lives and through this book in our hands. What's the truth? Let's dive in. The truth of us. Ouch might be a proper reaction for the words regarding us this morning, regarding our author. I thought Proverbs were supposed to be uplifting and full of hope and wisdom, right? Proverbs 31, woman, right? That's where we go. What is this proverb? The truth of us. That is what it is, and it is harsh. Here are the descriptions of us from our first two verses. Weary, worn out, stupid, without understanding, without wisdom. And those two are different, understanding and wisdom. You can understand and then not apply that understanding. To know a thing and then to work against that thing, that's the definition of foolish. Those are the words to describe man. Man being a word for all people. This is not to say you are dumb. That's not what it's inferring here. Everyone in here is smart. You can read and write and think on your own. You've gone to school and you have had or will have careers. You're not dumb, and yet this text claims mankind is dumb, ignorant. Why? How much of the universe do you know? How much of the knowledge that can be had do you have? Maybe you're the best at what you do, you're the expert in your field, and yet have very little knowledge, right? I see some of these, I guess, celebrities now that are smart. Elon Musk comes to mind. That's a very unique individual. Seemingly a very important individual, seemingly a very smart individual, genius, some may say, and even he has very little knowledge of the knowledge that exists. This is an interesting thing to think about. It's an excellent argument for God. Ask the most intelligent atheist that you know how much of the universe's knowledge they know. There's a Christian physicist, scholar, apologist. He asked this very question to a well-known and prestigious university. He was invited there, basically, so they could refute his Christianity. And he simply asked, how much of the knowledge of all things do they possess? Room full of geniuses in their own fields. He asked them, what is it? Do you know 1% of everything? 5%? They thought they would round up to 10%. None of them thought they knew 10% of everything that exists. What is your number of all knowledge? Remember, a billion galaxies with each a billion stars is what we're told. Can you name every single one? Every animal? Every city on this planet? Every name of every person on this planet? Let's shorten it. Can you name every person in this room? More than 7,000 languages, how many can we speak? Are we starting to see how little we know? This physicist, this scholar, he simply asked this group full of atheists that wanted to cut him down a notch. He just simply said, in the 95%, 96%, 99% of the things you say you don't know, can God exist there? Interesting to think about. Amen. Enough of the pointing out of our ignorance. What else are we according to Scripture? Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. That's who we are at our core. Men and women created in the image of God. Image meaning like him. like him in dominion over the earth. That's what he set us over. We have dominion, like him in being soul-bearing, like him in meaning communal. That's why men and women were made for one another as a reflection of the relationship of the Godhead. What else are we according to the truth? Fallen. Broken. Ever since the beginning, this is not new. Romans 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless, no one does good, not even one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You do not know a righteous person. Hold on to that when you fall short. You do not know a person that has never fallen. No one has walked the path they needed to walk to be with God. No one. That was the whole point of sending the Son. Amen. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God. Do we understand that we know almost nothing? If we spend any time in our world today on social media or those news channels, then we probably even know less truth. The rot of the mind is the result of Christians depending on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News for truth. Do we understand that no one has kept themselves from falling? Do we understand that God understood that, and his understanding that we would never understand on our own is why his Son in our place? In a world in which truth still matters, it does. Give thanks for having the ultimate truth in your hands. Seeing the truth about yourself, a sinner in need of saving, is the only way to get to a place to give thanks. Let's keep moving. The truth of God. We've seen the truth according to us, according to Scripture about us. Not according to our own opinions or the world's opinion, but according to the Word of God. What about God Himself? Who is He? Our author this morning gives us a description in form of rhetorical questions. These are questions, they're not begging to be answered. The questioner already knows the answers. These kinds of questions are just to provoke thought. In our case, to provoke thoughts about the truth of God. Verse 4. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his Son's name? Surely you know. A couple of things to see here. The descriptions of God are that he's the only one that can ascend and descend heaven. The only one that can gather the wind in his fists. The waters of the world would fit in his garment. I picture here a sweatshirt, a cupping of the sweatshirt. That's how we used to hold fruit we were picking. That's how my kids hold the kittens when they're playing with them, up in the sweatshirt. A cupping of the sweatshirt, and you hold every drop of water on the planet right there. The one who established the earth. Our writer speaks of the creator and sustainer of everything. So does Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10, verse 12, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. We're giving thanks for this truth that God is the only God and He's our God and He is over all. We do not often treat this as truth. We say it and then we do our own thing in our own way and in our own power. Partly because this is who we are. We're prideful, we're stubborn. We think we can do it on our own. Also because we do not trust Him to do it in our way and in our timing. We see something wrong in our life and we blame God. And then we see something right in our life and we congratulate ourselves. The truth is that it is in His will and in His timing and for our good, every single bit of it. Hard and tragic things happen because of the fallenness of this world and because of our sins and sinful choices, and also nothing outside of His control. He uses both the good things and the bad to shape us in His image and to reveal His glory. He is God, there is no other. He is the Creator, and we are creation. How do we live like this is true? We live like His Word is true. His Word is true, not just the parts we want or our versions of it, but completely true and good for us. We live like His Word is true, and we live in prayer. That's how we reveal that we believe that He is who He says He is. Give everything over to Him in prayer. Ask for everything in prayer. Be prepared for every answer in prayer. And hold on to this book. What was the other thing to see here in this section? Our writer asks for the name of God. Who is He? And he asks for the name of His Son. Now the book of Proverbs goes back to 1,000 years before Christ on earth. And in the question is, what is the name of His Son? For our text, it's a way of showing that no man could do the things of God. No father, no son, no generation could ever be like God, though every generation tries to be. We also see our Savior in these words. We're programmed to as Christians, and also He is there. The question of who is the Son is what the New Testament writers answer. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's Jesus. Colossians 1:16, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. You should hear that ringing through your ears as you vote in this election. The authority of whoever is next, vote closest to your Christianity that you can, but know that no matter who is in charge here, He is always in charge. Amen. What comes next might be for our punishment, for our correction. It might cause us to be a Christian in the face of adversity, but what comes next is never outside of Him. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. Jesus is this Son. This is still the only question that matters today. that truly matters, condemnation or forgiveness, sinner or sinner saved, life or death, heaven or hell, these either-or scenarios for what comes at the end of this life, they all rest upon knowing the name of this Son. Not knowing as in can spell it. Not knowing as it can quote some words. Knowing the Son of God is much deeper than that. Knowing who He is and what He has done for you, that's part of it. Knowing you were once one way and now another just by meeting Him, that's part of it. Knowing that His love for you was at its greatest expression, the cross, while we stood at our furthest from Him. Knowing His ways are better for you, and that it took Him sacrificed in your place for you to have this better way. Knowing Him in this way is to know the very truth. Give thanks for that truth. The word of truth. Verse 5 here. Verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Every word true. I say that a lot. Every word true. This echoes all across Scripture for us. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish all that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out for God, by God. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. That's a hard concept in the world we live in today. Almost everything you hear today has some hint of falsehood. Facts and opinions mixed, skewed data. People talk about conspiracy theories all the time, right? That's a big topic. That's crazy, people, right? Though many of the theories years later are now true. Maybe they're not all so crazy. There are some crazy ones, though. The earth is flat. That's a crazy one. No moon landing, that's a crazy one. These things have been proven. Bigfoot or Sasquatch? No, that one's true. I think the greatest conspiracy theorists I see today are the ones that believe that whatever version they would like to set up of government does no harm. Only ever does good. Lean into the government at all costs. What a place to stand. That's where many stand who want the government in charge of more and more and more, right? More programs, more control, more power. We know the government has harmed us. We know the government has done wrong. We know this very simply because Jesus is the only one ever to do no wrong. He's it. Jesus is the perfection we seek, and it is Jesus that our government slowly slides away from. Amen. It can't be both. Why point this out? So I can point out that ultimate truth will never be found from the White House press room. Ultimate truth will never be found from your favorite news channel. I don't care which channel it is. I can tell what many of us watch by what we post and share online, right? We see that. It is not the truth you seek. Worse than that, it's intentionally leading you in a specific way, designed for your ears. We've talked about that before. Do we understand that? If all you ever hear is what you believe to be true from others who believe it too, then that's where you'll stand, truth or not. ultimate truth is what we want. That's what we search for. In between our birth and our death, we want to know and live and share this truth. What truth? Our text says, every word of God. It's our shield, it's our refuge, so we need to know what it is. Well, what it is these words from Agur. What it is these words from the prophets and the kings. What it is these words from Job and Esther and Ruth. It is the Gospels and it is the letters to the churches. Every word on every page is the Word of God, is the truth we seek. But Pastor, it doesn't tell me my career path or who should be my spouse or who I should vote for. My answer, of course, is it does. This book is full of the good things of God to lean into, and it is full of the wicked things of the world to stay from. You should be able to tell which one is which. If we're not guided in some specific area in our life, it's not due to the lack of the Word of God. It is only ever due to the lack of our leaning in. And it will be hard. It's not easy. We're sinners in a fallen world, and we've been led this way or that way by people in our life and by our own desires, and we've been hurt, and then we read in here where their way or our way is not the way. Then we got to do something. In that moment, you either lean in and change according to the power of the Word of God, or you lean away and be hardened. Slowly over time, we do harden toward the things of God when we choose our own way. One decision or one step at a time. Then we wake up one morning and wonder why God feels so far away and we're the only one that's been taking the steps in the opposite direction. You will choose to lean in or not. But our text goes further. Verse 6. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. This is his completed word, full stop. How do we add to it? Well, the obvious ways of adding to it is adding books that were not by the hand of God. We see this in all other religions. The Bible plus something else. Some of the religions is something else minus the Bible. But we see it. We can't do that. We also cannot skip around or change words or add context so we get the answer we want. We can't do that. The destruction of many churches and many lives have begun here. I don't think it really says that, or I don't think that applies to me, or that's just one way of looking at it. All false. The Word of God only ever goes in one direction, full stop. We have to figure out what that direction is. If we're doing this, if you're doing this, then it says you will be rebuked as a liar. Now, this does not mean as if you've told some lie at some point in your life. Every one of us have done that, right? We see that. Image comes to my mind as the kid with chocolate on his face. Did you eat the chocolate? Uh-uh. I did it earlier when I told you Sasquatches were real. No, that's still true. That was still true. Being found to be a liar is deeper. It's deeper than have you ever lied. It's a consistent way of being to you. It's an unrepentant way of life for you. It's sinning leading to other sin for you. How are these kinds of liars rebuked? Proverbs 19:9. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. Revelation 21:8, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, for murderers, for the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur which is the second death. Second death, as in you have already died, or Jesus has already returned, and now you have been judged. Judged not according to the works of Jesus on your behalf. That's where every one of us want to stand. Judged according to what Jesus has done for us. Not that. But rather judged according to your own ways. Eternal death, and there is no coming back from that, and that is where all go who intentionally and continually, without repentance, corrupt this book. That makes my heart equal parts angry and heavy for those who do not teach what are on the pages here. That makes my heart burden for those of us who would twist this book to fit our lives. It cannot be. Where have we been standing? What corrections do we need to make? Where in our lives do we need guidance? Repent and lean into His word to you and give thanks. And we close here this morning with a question. Have we been given thanks for truth? Not some truth you hold from your favorite podcaster or favorite opinion columnist, not those kinds of things. Not some truth from that TV. Do we give thanks for the truth that is the foundation of our salvation? The truth that should be the foundation for all we say and do in this life. Though we will still fall short here. That truth, that foundation being the gospel of Jesus Christ, His perfect life, His sacrificial death, so that although we are sinners and we have fallen short, we have gone our own way, although we have done those things no longer define us. Because of our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that where we stand? If we have never stood there, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's a promise of Scripture. You'll have this faith and the Word of God will be your guide. If we do claim this truth, then we now need to live it. That means tough conversations and hard decisions. That means everything you do is washed by the Word. Is this where we stand? What do we need to turn to the Word for in our life? What do we need to repent of? What is going on in your life? Bring anything at all to our Father in heaven as we sing. To give thanks for the truth is to live this truth. Do we give thanks? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning together. We thank you for your holy word, even the parts that we don't lean into often, even things such as words from Agur. Father, we thank you that every word in this book is from you to us. It has the power to guide us and to change us from within. Father, we ask now as we're closing in prayer together and our hearts are searching different things about our lives, we just ask that we have the courage to stand upon your word no matter what we're facing. We ask for the courage and the strength to stand upon your truth in a world that offers anything else. Father, we ask that we have the strength and the courage to give thanks for your truth. And this giving thanks means living. It means sharing your word. It means repenting when we fall short. Father, help us do that. In Jesus' name I pray.